Radio Prague News.
The European Commission has warned the Czech Education Ministry that it could lose vast amounts of money in subsidies over mistakes in public procurement. According to a poll conducted by the Median agency, the former Prime Minister Jan Fischer is currently the most popular presidential candidate. And a wax heart sculpture made in memory of the late President Václav Havel has been installed on the plaza of the Czech National Theatre. During talks in Brussels on Friday, the EU's Commissioner for Employment, Social Affairs and Inclusion, Laszlo Andor, warned Czech Education Minister Josef Dobeš that his ministry could lose millions of euros in subsidies over poorly administered EU projects. The EU Commissioner pointed out mistakes in public procurement and said that EU funds were not always used as stated in approved projects. He said the Czech government must take immediate and effective measures to correct these failings or resign itself to losing most of the funds it could draw from the Education for Competitiveness operational program. Mr. Dobeš said he realized the gravity of the situation and promised to implement corrective measures within the next few weeks. The European Commissioner said further talks in March would be decisive with respect to further EU funding. According to a survey conducted by the Median agency and published in Friday's edition of the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, former Prime Minister Jan Fischer would receive the most votes if direct presidential elections were held today. Roughly a third of respondents said they would cast their ballot for the former Prime Minister, who headed an interim government between April of 2009 and July 2010. If elections were held today, economist Jan Švejnar would receive a sixth of the vote, while entrepreneur Tomio Okamura polled at 10%. Only 6% of respondents said they would vote for candidate Karel Schwarzenberg, the current foreign minister. The Czech Senate approved an amendment to the constitution that paves the way for direct presidential elections on Wednesday. Czechs will be able to vote for their president directly for the first time in March of 2013, when current president Václav Klaus's second term in office expires. The Czech Republic has won an arbitration case against the Swiss consortium O Economicus, the Czech finance ministry said on Friday. The Swiss consortium took the Czech state to court over allegedly having violated the Czech-Swiss agreement on the protection of investments. The court victory will save the state 5 billion crowns, and the Swiss company has also been ordered to cover all court expenses. On a visit to neighbouring Germany, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Friday that the Czech Republic did not intend to build transformers in order to block electricity overflows from Germany. The Czech grid is occasionally overloaded by these flows, in particular when the output of wind farms in northern Germany is high. In such cases, there is a danger of a blackout for the Czech grid. Prime Minister Nečas said Prague had decided to take measures in favour of strengthening the country's own transmission networks. At the same time, he said the Czech Republic expected Germany to move to solve the problem on its own territory. A wax heart sculpture made in memory of the late President Václav Havel has been installed on the plaza of the Czech National Theatre. The sculpture made by artists Lukáš Gavlovský and Roman Švejda was created from leftover wax from the many thousands of candles that Czechs lit for Václav Havel on town squares around the country. The sculpture is 2 meters tall and weighs over 2 tons. Weather allowing, it should remain there until April. Czechs will celebrate Tax Freedom Day on June 19th this year. That is 4 days later than in 2011, according to the calculations of the financial company Patria Finance. According to the company's chief economist, David Marek, the main reason for the slide is the raising of the lower VAT rate, which has raised the tax quota from 34.7% to 35.1% of GDP. Tax Freedom Day is the first day of the year in which a nation as a whole has theoretically earned enough income to fund its annual tax burden. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should bring clear to partly cloudy skies, with day temperatures dropping to minus 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Velinger. Coming up in today's program, The European Court of Human Rights has strongly criticized the Czech state for denying the late František Oldřich Kinský a fair trial. Then we'll have the latest in business news, and a little later in the program, we look at a new exhibition in Karlovy Vary, where artists from Germany and the Czech Republic worked for the first time in glass. That's all ahead. The European Court of Human Rights has strongly criticized the Czech state for having denied a fair trial to František Oldřich Kinský, an Austrian aristocrat who sued the country over his property claims. The court said that Mr. Kinský, who passed away nearly 3 years ago, had been subjected to abusive treatment by the Czech authorities when he sued to get back family property worth around 40 billion crowns. Jan Richter has the details.
The Strasbourg court criticized Czech politicians for having interfered with the court proceedings of Mr. Kinský, who sued the state to get back some 40 billion crowns of his family property, confiscated by the state after the end of the Second World War under the so-called Beneš decrees. The judges slammed several Czech politicians, including then MP and now Prime Minister Petr Nečas, for their out-of-place remarks on the case. Under the verdict, the Czech Republic has to pay some 334,000 crowns to Mr. Kinský's heirs in compensation and court expenses. But as Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil points out, the court's ruling will have no effect on the actual case.
The court in Strasbourg did not deal with Mr. Kinský's property claims. That was not the merit of the case. The issue was whether or not the principles of a fair trial were upheld. The court did not even question the Czech restitution law, which applies to property claims. The verdict, therefore, does not cast any doubt on how restitution cases are handled in the Czech Republic.
Mr. Kinský's vast family property included several chateaus, a palace in Prague, as well as extensive fields and forests. It was confiscated in 1945 on the basis of legislation known as the Beneš decrees, which expropriated possessions of all German-speaking inhabitants of Czechoslovakia unless they could prove that they took part in the anti-Nazi resistance. However, Mr. Kinský, who died in April 2009, aged 72, claimed the confiscation was illegal. He argued that he was the rightful owner of the estates at the age of 8 and that his ethnicity was registered as Czech. But most of Mr. Kinský's claims were rejected by Czech courts, and the nobleman only received a fraction of the property he was trying to reclaim. The European Court of Human Rights also slammed the Czech authorities for having launched criminal proceedings against Mr. Kinský during the course of his legal actions against the Czech state. In addition, the court noted that a close supervision of the case by the country's justice ministry could have influenced rulings. The Czech state now has 3 months to appeal the verdict. Attorney Jaroslav Čapek, who represented Mr. Kinský in the Czech courts, nevertheless welcomed the verdict.
I'm really happy about the ruling. It gives me great satisfaction after all those years of arguments. I kept notifying Czech courts on all levels that they had infringed on Mr. Kinský's right to a fair trial according to the European Convention on Human Rights. As you can see, I was right. The court has now confirmed it, and I'm glad that it happened. And that was attorney Jaroslav Čapek, who represented the late Mr. Kinský in the Czech courts on that decision by the European Court. If you'd like to comment on that story, please write to us here at Radio Prague. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. Now, though, it's time for a roundup of the business news, and for that I'm joined by Christian Falvey.
The Czech Republic's government debt reached 39.8% of the gross domestic product in the third quarter of 2011 and was the seventh lowest in the 27-member European Union, according to data released this week by Europe's statistical office, Eurostat. The debt-to-GDP ratio in the EU in the third quarter rose in a quarter-on-quarter comparison from 81.7% to 82.2%. Conversely, in the Eurozone, the ratio fell from 87.7% to 87.4%. The data shows that only 13 of the 27 EU member states meet the so-called debt criterion of no more than 60% of GDP, This criterion is one of the conditions for adopting the euro. In a year-on-year comparison, the EU's debt rose to 82.2% of GDP in the third quarter of last year from 78.5%. The eurozone's debt grew to 87.4% in Q3 2011 from 83.2% in the same period of 2010, Eurostat reported.
January saw a sharp jump in the number of unemployed in the Czech Republic, 0.5% since December of last year, to an overall 9.1%. These statistics were released by the Labour and Social Affairs Ministry this week. Analysts attributed the rise in the unemployment figure to many jobs being seasonal, but the expected economic downturn has likely also played a role. Otherwise, a worsening in the unemployment figure was expected for January. Together with the rise in unemployment, firms are currently offering 1,300 fewer jobs than in December.
The Czech state loses an estimated 25 to 30 billion crowns every year on account of tax evasion, according to the Finance Ministry's General Financial Directorate. The largest part of the sum consists of fraud related to value-added tax, which accounts for 10 to 15 billion, and 5 to 8 billion regarding evasion of VAT on fuel alone. A new trend in cases of fraud related to timber imports has also been noted. The head of the directorate, Jan Knížek, notes that the actual figure of total tax evasion is difficult to estimate, adding that some taxpayers may verge on unlawful behavior that cannot be strictly classified as tax evasion.
Car manufacturer Škoda Auto has offered employees at its Mladá Boleslav plant a 2.5% salary increase following collective bargaining with the workers' unions, but the offer made in a first meeting being described so far as a fiasco was rejected outright by the unions, which expect inflation of more than 3%, meaning the bump represents a decrease in terms of real wages. Škoda Auto has declined to comment on the negotiations. Talks on a wage increase began last week with three union organizations in Mladá Boleslav, Kvasinky and Vrchlabí. Škoda Auto employs almost 26,000 people. The average salary at the firm is 34,500 crowns per month.
Lastly, the sale of winter clothing and apparel has reportedly seen a big jump following the continuing cold snap and current Arctic conditions in parts of the Czech Republic. Not only has the sale in clothing seen a bump by consumers, but also dogs' winter wear and apparel. According to sources, the sale of winter sweaters and other clothes for doggies has quadrupled. Specialized stores reported atypically high consumer interest last week, with at least one confirming by Friday's end that only a few items remained in stock.
Christian Falvey there with the business news. And you think people are cold? Well, those dogs are freezing their paws off. Now, we turn to today's main feature, which is the arts. The first show of the season opened last Friday at the Villa Becher Interactive Gallery in Karlovy Vary, called Sklo Sklu Sklem, Glass Glaser am Glasersten. The new exhibition is a first foray by a number of Czech and German colleagues, painters, photographers, filmmakers and designers in working in glass. Some 40 works are on display, produced following a meeting and workshop last year between the artists at the Lamberts Traditional Glassworks in Waldsassen, Bavaria, not far from the Czech-German border. The aim was for artists to share inspiration and ideas and to unlock some of the secrets of a material they had not used before. Jan Samec is the head of the Villa Becher Gallery.
The idea was to meet at the glassworks, interesting in and of itself, because they use traditional methods there. Many of us were not familiar with the techniques firsthand. It's an environment that would appeal less, of course, to those who work regularly with glass, but for us it was different and far from routine. We purposely invited artists who would work with glass for the first time.
Lamberts provided a window into the properties of glass close up, a view of the material in the molten state with specialists blowing glass into large bubbles or blobs before working it into cylinders that are then cut and stretched into sheets. Lamberts is famous for its classic approach and is able to mix clear and colored glass. Jan Samens explains a bit of the process.
Většinou známe vlastně sklo, které máme v oknech,
Most of us are familiar with float glass that is stretched in a molten state over a surface and laid out to create a perfectly uniform sheet. Earlier 20th century methods produced a somewhat less uniform product. But at Lambert's, they mouth-blow glass, creating blobs of molten glass that are huge. In pairs, they then form a cylinder, which they cut and are able to create a tableau in the furnace that they stretch. The size of the glass window is limited by human capabilities, but it is still very impressive. They know how to form a half-meter to 80-centimeter-long sheet.
Participating artists, unlike the specialists at Lambert's, though, worked with the material only in its cold state, sandblasting, grinding, gluing, or cutting the material, as well as photographing or filming the process. The week at the traditional glassworks last autumn was also recorded by documentary filmmaker and participant in the project Alexander Schrott. A clip is available at YouTube. The segment begins with church bells and a call to the glassworks, followed by industrial music and glass worked in a variety of ways. The Becher Gallery hopes to produce a somewhat longer version of the material shot in a final form in the future. Jan Samec again.
Alexander Schrott was involved from the very beginning and filmed the whole process, including how artists cut the glass and so on. We have several versions on DVD and hope to have a final one, which should be a little bit longer. I think he did it very attractively, and it will be evident how constructive the workshop was. The internet clip available now is pretty much an invitation to the show.
Overall, it is fair to say that Skloss Glus Glam was a process of learning and discovery. As such, some of the properties of glass could be respected, enhanced, or accented, but in some cases provocatively ignored. Jan Samec again.
As a painter, you use color for its quality of light or its chromatic value. You can use both or only the latter. But when you work with glass, you often work primarily with light. You have to take into account whether the artifact will make use of backlight, artificial or natural, or not. As artists in this project, we had to decide how to approach the problem. Consequently, some of the works produced rely on light for the complete effect, while other pieces are hung against the wall and different properties are stressed.
Since all were working with the material for basically the first time, some plans or concepts had to be adapted, but on the whole, those taking part were able to remain consistent to their style and vision of their earlier work. Jan Samec once more.
The workshop only lasted 1 week, but in the second half we got more experience that will be very useful in the future. In advance, we had some ideas and proposals, but these had to be modified to a degree based on what we learned. We found that there were certain limits, but also unexpected advantages that we had to take into account or make use of. The next time, theoretically, it would be easier to tailor projects more specifically.
The head of the gallery also described some of the resulting work now on view in Karlovy Vary, including the mysterious spaces of Jan Tichý.
Jan Tichý is a painter from Prague who used sandblasting techniques to etch on the glass. He tried to create an illusion of perspective, what he calls an illusion of architecture, in which he etched away layers of glass to create almost magical spaces, which made use of intensity and backlight. That was very distinctive work.
Last Friday, the Vernissage drew plenty of interest from both sides of the border, which organizers hope will continue in the coming weeks and months. The exhibition lasts until April the 9th, and it's a fascinating show that should leave an impact both on viewers as well as the artists themselves. They themselves were tested by working in a new medium. Jan Samec explains.
Je to vlastně pro ně nový taký impuls, že
The whole project brought many of the artists a new impulse. It was important to overcome beginners' qualms or certain awkwardness at first when the artists realized they couldn't do exactly what they wanted. But all the artists involved got into it and spent much more time in the glassworks than anyone expected. The beauty of working with a new material, using new techniques, definitely resulted in new inspiration and new ideas.
Cool stuff going on at that glassworks there. I want to thank Jan Sommets again for taking the time to talk to us here at Radio Prague. Be sure to look up that exhibition on the internet to find more information or about opening times at the Villa Becher Interactive Gallery in Karlovy Vary. If you're in the neighborhood, do get a chance or do drop by, do visit. It's very well worth it. We're now going to turn to today's final feature, which is our continuing long-running and now in reruns series, The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The ABC of Czech. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
The time has come for the letter W, so let's talk about the weather. The word for weather is
počasí.
It comes from the word
čas,
which means time. The weather is a very important part of our life, and that's why at the end of every Radio Prague news bulletin you can find a weather forecast.
Předpověď počasí.
The weather these days is not very pleasant. The winter is approaching, and with it frost,
mráz,
and snow,
sníh.
The skies are overcast,
je zataženo,
and it is cold,
je zima.
When the weather is really bad in winter, we talk about
psí počasí,
literally dog's weather. I doubt that dogs enjoy that kind of weather any more than people do. The expression most likely comes from another idiom.
Je počasí, že by psa nevyhnal.
It means the weather is so bad that one wouldn't turn a dog out. But after every winter comes the spring and summer and warm weather.
Teplé počasí.
Who minds the occasional rain,
déšť,
or wind,
vítr,
when most of the time the sun is shining,
svítí slunce,
and the day is long? Summer thunderstorms,
letní bouřky,
are a pleasant break, only if you're not afraid of lightning bolts,
blesky,
and thunder,
hrom,
or if hail,
kroupy,
doesn't damage your windows. Well, we'll have to wait some time for summer thunderstorms, I'm afraid. But in the meantime, on those long winter evenings, you can practice your Czech vocabulary or look up the ABC of Czech on our website www.radio.cz/English, where you will find all the previous scripts as well as programs in sound. And of course, tune in again next time if you can. Until then,
naschledanou.
Bye-bye.
The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. I don't know about you, but that theme song always reminds me of something like The Friendly Giant or some little fairy kingdom far away. I don't know. I imagine miniature chairs and that kind of thing. Strange. Anyhow, if you'd like to comment, as always, do write to us here at the station, english@radio.cz, and be sure to look up more news and information at our website, radio.cz. Also, you can follow in all the latest discussion at our Facebook and Twitter pages. So please join us for that. Write us in and join in that discussion. We're always happy to find out what you think. We're out of time for today. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you for joining us and take care.